It's time for Peeking Inside the Grapevine with Jimmy the Greek Yacht.
Well, thank you, Simon. Good morning, everyone. Peeking Inside the Grapevine today, our guest is going to be our in-house professor, Bill Sproul. We'll talk about the Stanley Cup playoffs, game one a few nights ago, game two tonight. And also we'll take a look at a couple other odds and ends in sports. And Bill will have a story about the first United States hockey team to win the Stanley Cup, as I believe the professor is going back to the future with this one. We're going to meet our sponsors, then we'll bring Bill in. See Rob's and the crew at Q&A Automotive, your Carfax Advantage dealer. Don't be penalized for bad service. Open up some happiness all your favorite Coke products in local stores and establishments from Coca-Cola of Hancock. Porter's Tire and Auto Repair, Ethel Avenue in Hancock, has a great selection of brand name tires. David Drupy, Century 21 North Country Agency in Houghton, is the official realtor of Peeking Inside the Grapevine. For all your embroidery and team accessories, silk screening, and everything else in between, see Joe or Stacy at Homestead Graphics, everything back in a timely fashion, 353-6741. Dave's BP Super Service in Hancock area's only full-service gas station. Call 482-3410. 24/7 towing as well around the clock and calendar. Q&A Overhead Doors, your Clopay Garage Door Distributor in Copper Country, Saran Avenue, and Houghton. Tim's Excavating and Skidding Services provide all your excavating needs, from the foundation to the driveways, everything in between, licensed septic installer. Dr. Grant Olson, Northland Veterinary Clinic in Hancock, provides quality care for your family pets. 482-3400, emergency house calls available and open to noon on Saturday. Saracen Family Dental, 896 Campus Drive in Hancock, providing quality family dentistry care. The residents all over the Copper Country, always accepting new patients, 482-8601. Eastport Pasty Company, serving delicious pasties Saturday and Monday in Calumet at Rosalita's Bakery, 11:30 to 2. Reserve on their Facebook page or call 369-4345. Jordan Peterson Lawn Services, 281-7318. Give Jordan a call. Lawn Services also does excavating work as well. Houghton Building Supply, Brickyard Lane in Houghton, is now your authorized a true value franchise, and take advantage of their drive-through lumberyard. Thunder Lodge and Resort, Green Bay, Wisconsin, featuring one of the biggest indoor water parks in the Midwest, 920-405-8700 to book your stay for the larger get-togethers. Ask for a dear friend, Holly Nichols. You have problems with spiders, ants, fleas, mice, all kinds of rescue rodents. Contact A-Plus Pest Management, 281-4975. Weekly house calls, monthly house calls, or house calls around the calendar, they do it all. And Uper Fitness, your hometown gym, featuring a wide variety of cardio-free weights and cable machines. Approximately 10,000 square feet located inside the Copper Country Mall. Time to bring in the good professor. And good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Jimmy. How are you today?
Not too bad, my friend. Getting everything wrapped up and moving forward, as we say, one day at a time, Bill. You know how that goes, huh?
Well, summer's here, so time to enjoy the sunshine in the Copper Country.
Yeah, enjoyable I can, that's for sure. Well, Bill, Stanley Cup playoffs underway. Carolina-Vegas game one a few nights ago. Back and forth game, a total of 9 goals. Vegas wins on the road. Tell you what, Bill, Vegas isn't going away, are they?
I was surprised. I watched the first part of the game, and the Carolina looked pretty good, but Vegas came back and pulled it out, so it's going to be an exciting series. I don't think it's going to go four games. It may go 6 or 7 games, but before the series started, I think you and I both picked Carolina was going to win it all, so it's going to go more than 4 games, Jimmy.
Well, Bill, I got this figured out. If it goes 7 games, I believe I'll have to watch that from a hospital bed in Green Bay. So I'm hoping 6 games or less, to be honest with you, just for my personal preference. But I agree with you. This has a long series written all over it. And, you know, Tortorella, I have no idea why they haven't removed the interim tag from his contract. But 28 out of 34 games he's won since they got rid of Cassidy and still hold him hostage. And I always love Tortorella, Bill. I think he's great for the game. What are your thoughts?
He's had several stops. He sure gets the players to listen to him. He's quite a motivator. I think sometimes they get a little tired of hearing the same message, but he's doing a magical job with Vegas this year. So it's we'll see what happens. Whether they'll keep him around if he wins it all, they probably will. But he may not last more than another season. He'll be moving on someplace else.
And game two is tonight on ABC, 8 o'clock, and obviously CBC, which I will watch most of the pregame show, although up here it's in low definition. Which network do you watch, Bill? You got both of them now in your area. You watch the national stateside broadcast, or you tune into CBC up in the Brighton area?
I stream, but I don't have CBC, so we'll watch it on the one of the U.S. networks, and it'll be ESPN or ABC will watch it. So that's on Tuesday, that's where I watched it on, I think it was ESPN, or I can't remember. It's just
right.
One of those games that's on. You forget where it is. I know the NHL games have moved around several places to just
right.
Find them all winter, so.
Yeah, and ABC does have all the final games. All will be at night. And, Bill, before we get to your story, one more thing on the finals. Carolina's first line still can't find their way. Their power play is not good at all. And you would think for Carolina to win this thing, they got to get that Stankoven line and that whole crew moving a little bit better. But, and like a lot of coaching adjustments now going into tonight's game, we'll see both coaches are phenomenal chess players, Brind'Amour and obviously Tortorella. Now they got something to go on. What type of glaring changes do you see Carolina maybe making tonight going into their game two at home, trailing one game to zip?
It's hard to say. You say the top line is having trouble scoring, but boy, the fans sure get behind the team. And I know when they get to Vegas, the Vegas fans will be, it is quite a spectacle, these games. Boy, the fans are sure excited. We saw that in Montreal, too, in the games before.
Right.
Just such excitement. It's just the, it may be just the luck of the puck, where it's going to go. And this first line, they'll come around. He may shift one or two around, but we'll see what happens.
Especially for Montreal, I'm glad you brought that up, Bill. It almost seemed that Bill was so dragged up, the building, I mean. And I think Montreal just didn't look right at home for the whole playoffs, and it's almost like, I know it's possible to get too fired up, but you think that was part of the problem with the Canadiens? And obviously, Carolina was a better team. But Montreal had just a god-awful time playing at home. You can see the difference once they got on the road.
Yeah, they probably, well, they're also tired. They played a lot of games in the playoffs, and Carolina really
right.
hadn't played a whole lot. And they just, you might be right. They just, the expectations were so high for the Canadian fans, and just got them to a whole different level. They felt tough to make an error, and just very tense and tired. So it's one of those things.
Well, Bill, it's our listeners' favorite part of our segments when you're with us. We're going into the throwback machine again today. How far back are we going, Bill, with your history lesson for our listeners, which I'm really intrigued by here this one?
Well, I'm actually going to go back to 1916. The first time the Montreal Canadiens won the Stanley Cup. They won 24 Stanley Cups, but I'm going to go back to the first time they won the Stanley Cup. And it's it involved the game in Houghton, which is kind of interesting, the story shared today. So in 1916, the Stanley Cup was played between the Montreal Canadiens and the Portland Rosebuds. At that time, really the Stanley Cup was played between the champions of the National Hockey Association, which became the National Hockey League, and the Pacific Coast Hockey Association. The Canadians were the champions of the National Hockey Association. It was still two or three years before the NHL was founded. And Portland was the champion of the Pacific Coast Hockey Association. So Portland is actually the first U.S. team to play for the Stanley Cup. So there's your trivia question. You can usually fool most. The first U.S. team to play for the Stanley Cup. At the end, I'll tell you who won. Who was the first U.S. team to win the Stanley Cup. But at that time, the finals would alternate between the home rink of the National Hockey Association and the home rink of the Pacific Coast League. It was a best-of-five series. So the 1916 finals were played in Montreal. So Portland needed to travel to Montreal. As the Rosebuds were traveling to Montreal, they stopped in Houghton to play an exhibition game against a UP All-Stars teams of players from Calumet, Houghton, and Sioux, Michigan. And on that All-Star team were Jack Adams. He played 1 year in Calumet from Thunder Bay, and he went on to play in the NHL. He's a coach and general manager for the Red Wings for many years. A player from Sioux, Michigan, Muzz Patrick, eventually played several years for the Seattle Metropolitans. We can save a whole episode on him. He's in the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame. Billy Curtou from North Bay, he played for Sioux, Michigan. He later played for the Montreal Canadiens. He's actually the only player banned for life from the National Hockey League when he attacked a referee in the 1927 Stanley Cup. And the player from Houghton was Elmer Sakati. He was later the head coach for the first 2 years of hockey at the Michigan College of Mines. He also coached the Houghton High School team, and he refereed local games. This game was played at the Amphidrome on Friday, March 17, 1916. The Portland team included Ernie Moose Johnson, the defenseman, and Tommy Dunderdale. Both of them are in the Hockey Hall of Fame in Toronto. Dunderdale was the first player from Australia to play in the NHL. And there were two U.S.-born players. A goalie, Tommy Murray, he was born in Buffalo but moved to Winnipeg. But the famous one of the Copper Country is Charlie Buscula. He was born and raised in Calumet. Charlie went on and played a few seasons in the West. And when he retired, he got into skating and would travel the United States giving figure skating demonstrations. And he was one of the founders of, initial choreographer of Ice Capades, and skated with him in the 1940s. Well, the All-Stars led 4-0 before Portland scored in the second period. Portland won the game 7-6. Jack Adams scored two goals for the All-Stars. The local newspaper said this is the biggest crowd of the season at the Amphidrome. The exhibition showed the crowd the finer points of hockey and was distinctly pleasing no matter what happened, what the results. Well, the Rosebuds continued on to Montreal, and the Canadians were a good team. They had their goalie was George Vezina, and they had Nuzi Lalonde, Jack Laviolette, and Dicky Petrie, and they all played in the early 1900s in the International Hockey League. Well, the series went five games. Montreal won the deciding game 2-1 to win the cup. Charlie Uscola scored a goal in each of the Rosebuds' two wins. Now, the winner's share at the time, the Montreal players received $238 for winning the cup that year. And that said, that was Montreal's first Stanley Cup championship. Now, after the series, the two teams went on a barnstorming trip. They played two games in New York City on April 4th and 5th, and they played three games in Cleveland on April 7th, 8th, and 10th. And it's kind of interesting. The Montreal won total goals. Montreal won the series in New York City, and each player got $700. And Cleveland, the Montreal Canadiens won again, and they got $600. So just those five games, they made $1,300, which is a little more than the share that they got for the Stanley Cup. So it's an interesting story for today as the Stanley Cup Finals get underway. So the next trivia question is, the first U.S. team to win the Cup happened in the following season, 1917. The Seattle Metropolitans beat the Montreal Canadiens to become the first U.S. team to win the Stanley Cup. But kind of a fun story when you throw in the trip for the Rosebud stopping in Houghton to play an exhibition game.
Well, Bill, my question is, again, you know I have fun with this, and me and you have some fun arguments. Who's the original six? Who isn't the original six? After the Portland Rosebuds and the Seattle Club, what did they later become, or did they just become vanish in the thin air?
Well, they eventually, a few changes, but they went out of business really in the mid-1920s. The league had changed its name. It was the Western Hockey League. The league had changed its name. So the National Hockey Association, when they were founded in 1917, the Pacific Coast League was still underway. And when they went out of business, many of the Rosebuds players ended up with the Chicago Blackhawks. And the Seattle team, their players were dispersed. I think they went out of business before, but some of their players got dispersed with the NHL teams in 1926. And that's when the NHL took over the famous Stanley Cup. So it's the original six were the teams in the NHL from 1942 to 1967. Right. And then we get into, well, who were the original teams in the first NHL? And that was way back when it was formed in 1917. And there were only three teams that ended that season in 1917.
Again, it's a fun conversation. And well, we got about a minute or two left. But you mentioned some of the games and names. Vezina, Nuzi, Lolona, we all know. I believe his grandson was former Red Wings coach. And then a name that you've had numerous times in your segments, Mr. Iskilla from up in Calumet. I can't remember how many old stories you shared with me and Bob Urkel shared with me that he's in most of these. That he had to be an amazing athlete.
He was. He was. He only played. He played a couple of years for Portland, and he played a year with Cyclone Taylor in Vancouver for one season. And then he retired, and initially he and his sister got into figure skating, and they actually ended up in Australia for a little while, and they he coached a little hockey, but he returned, and he and his sister, and then I think his sister married somebody in Australia, but he married somebody else, and Charlie and his wife toured throughout the 1920s and gave figure skating exhibitions. They actually, in the 1930s, they skated with exhibitions with Sonia Henny, the Olympic figure skater of the 1930s. And then in the 1940s, when Ice Capades was formed, Charlie and his wife were skated with Ice Capades, and Charlie was the choreographer for throughout the 1940s. So we've shared the story about Charlie before, but just a fascinating person out of the Copper Country.
Well, Bill, as usual, a great story. We'll hook up next week. I don't know what day here. Then the following week, I'm pretty sure I will not be available with some medical stuff. But again, neat story, Bill. Thanks for sharing. We'll talk to you next week, okay?
We'll find another good story for you, Jimmy, as the Stanley Cup playoffs continue on. So good luck today. Enjoy the nice weather in the Copper Country.
All right. You too down your way, Bill. Thanks. We appreciate it. The good professor, our in-house professor, Bill Sproten, is joining us. We'll be back next Tuesday. We have a couple guests lined up, nothing official yet. We're going to send it back to Sam in the morning. Thanks, Sam.